for you, I was showing on the wire. But somehow you're taking me higher, higher. And I want you, and I need you, and I got you, and I'll never be happy without you. And I want you, and I goodbye to the guy I used to be, to the life I used to lead. Because now I see you're the only thing that matters to me. And the man I was before, he don't matter anymore. Because now I see you're the only thing that matters to me. Ooh, goodbye. Ooh, 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 ooh. Choir. Oh, it's over, baby. Send in the choir. Choir. And I want you, and I need you, and I got you.
You are listening to the Drop Podcast for April 23rd, 2024. This is Tim and Paul Cook previewing the 2024 Mid-Atlantic Wiffle Ball Opening Day Tournament. It's going to be this Saturday, April 27th, in York, Pennsylvania, at Shy Wiffle Ball Park in Dallas Community Park. Like I said, at our home base in York, Pennsylvania. We're really, really excited to get our eighth season started. Hard to believe it's already our eighth season here at Mid-Atlantic Wiffle and what? So 2024, if we were at our first tournament, Tim, in 19... Are we counting 97 or not?
Yeah, we should. Yeah, we're counting 97.
Okay, so what's 97 to 2024? Is that like, I don't know. I got to do it in my hands. It's 27 or 28 years. That's you know, we're almost coming up on our 30th anniversary of doing tournaments, which is really kind of ridiculous to think about. But this is our just eighth overall for MAW. Always one of our favorite tournaments of the year. We never sort of intended it, opening day to be the big MAW tournament. It just kind of, with a lot of, like a lot of things with MAW, we never sort of intended anything specific to happen. This just kind of happened where this became our big tournament. You and I were talking about this the other day, Tim. We had, you know, four at the first MAW opening day in 2017, just barely. Squad 51, Jim Miguel had his kids bailed us out at the last minute against the fourth team. And we had eight, and we were on cloud nine in 2018, you know, selling that out, you know, a few weeks in advance. Then in 2019, which is the max, basically the max we could take, with only three fields in April.
In 2019, we only had two fields for that.
You're right, that wasn't.
We didn't have two.
Oh yeah,
we had two.
So that was really maxing out that. Yeah, two fields. Yeah, good call on that. 2020, the late start of COVID, we had 16 teams. A lot of teams getting ready to, you know, just jonesing to play. 21, we had 20 for the first time. That was the first time we did the Dallas Town Satellites. 22, we dropped back down to 16. You know, weren't too happy with that drop back, but still a really good tournament. Last year, we had 24, which is still our high for any tournament, any single MAW tournaments. And this year we've got a really great 20 team field. And you know, one of the great things about opening day, one of the great things about MAW, I think one of the things really since day one that people have told us of like why they keep coming here is because they get to play. Not only do we have the best players, not only do we have like really great players here at like every single tournament, but you know, because it's a tournament format and because of that reputation of, you know, having the best players, you know, which is a credit to the players, you know, not necessarily us. So, you know, we get these out of, for lack of a better term, out of market teams that come in. And we've got, you know, several of them in this 20 team field. So maybe that's the best place to start, Tim, on this podcast, maybe talking about some of these out of market teams. So let's start with the team, I think, that we have to start with, the 2023 opening day champions, making their third MAW tournament appearance in the last 2 years, their second opening day in a row, the Las Vegas Wifflers, returning to defend their crown. So thoughts on Las Vegas heading into this? Can they go back to back, Tim? And you know, what's your thoughts?
I think they could definitely go back to back. I think this year, I mean, there wasn't like, I'm trying to think compared to last year. It feels like every team in this year's tournament has improved in some way. Whereas last year we had a couple of new teams like Vortex. That was their first, like, was that their first tournament?
Yeah. At first least, MAW tournament. Yeah.
First MAW tournament. You know, old line was just getting their new team ready. And I think
same with the Horsemen.
Yeah. The Horsemen.
Horsemen saw their old team. Yeah.
Old team. So, while it's down four teams, I think everyone's a little bit better. So yeah, there's no reason. I mean, Vegas Whifflers are an absolute top team. There's no reason they can't repeat.
Yeah, I agree. And there's a lot of teams in this field that kind of fall under that same umbrella. The thing for Las Vegas is they kind of just have to. It'll be interesting if they have kind of same as escaped me the young kid that's not Jordan, Caden, I think is Lefty. His name. I don't even know. I can't picture it off my head. But he was with him in UWF last year. He was with him on opening day. He wasn't with them in New Jersey. If they have him, he pitched pretty good in UWF. I think he pitched against the Black Dog. He pitched against some pretty decent team and shut him down. And this is nothing against Steve Trapeze, because Steve Trapeze always gets him through. It's just always, there's just a little less room for error. So it'll kind of be interesting, to see how their pitching shakes out. Like, they're a team, that if they get to that final eight, if they, make it late in the tournament, once they put Jordan on the mound, they can be, they're there of any team. So, it wouldn't surprise me that, they're going to have Jay with them and just one of the all-time great hitters in the game. So, they're easily set up for a repeat. Another out-of-market team making its second opening day appearance in a row is TC35. So they were supposed to have Connor Jaso with them last year. They picked up Jaso, the Kansas native, after the December 2022 MLW Texas tournament. They saw him down there. He's playing with Tom Gannon, Tom's got an ability to just find these guys out of nowhere. I'm not sure where he found them on Instagram or something, and played with him. And, he was kind of the talk of the tournament for how hard he threw. So, TC35 got right on that, picked him up. He's supposed to play opening day last year, ended up being injured, but, had a really nice breakout season, really good NWLA tournament, played well in a Texas tournament in their fast pitch tournament. Played well at United Wiffles, so he'll be making his MAW debut of TC35. TC35 went to the top eight last year at opening day. In this 20-team field, Tim, what would you handicap their odds of making it to the final eight again?
Oh, I'm not very good at the whole odds thing. That's why I'm not.
Well, just
a,
I'm just saying
not
more
a
like.
Gambler.
Well, is it over 50% or less than 50%? I mean, you can. Simplify. Boy, you're.
55% over. Yeah. Definitely over 50%, to get the final eight.
You're really not showing off your best stuff here on this opening day pre.
No, it's very late.
It's spring training for you too. I'm sure you'll be ready to go on Saturday. I think TC35, they're one of my favorite teams over the last few years, just cause I kind of like these like non-traditional paths in wiffle ball. This is a franchise that's been around since playing their first national championship tournament in 2005, and hadn't had any national championship success, really playing in about five or six tournaments until 2022, when they made the final eight at United Wiffle. Last year they started 1-2, made it all the way to the final 16 after starting 1-2. They're a different team than they were in 2005. They're Atwood and Oliver. Their cornerstones have been, joined by Luke Richter, who's probably one of the best two-way players in the game now. And, Connor Jason is going to be there with him pretty soon and is a great pitcher. So, I think they're well on their way to another top eight appearance here, and a team I'm really looking forward to seeing. And also an interesting team because those guys are going to kind of spread out after this tournament. Jason's going to play with the Dragons. So they're playing for fun, not for points. Because Jason's going to play with the Dragons for, you know, a couple more tournaments in the season. And same with Luke is going to play with the Juggernauts. And I think Chase is going to, or at least has talked with someone. But that's what I heard. But like, I can't even think of what team
that
would be.
Yeah, I can't. I heard too, but I'm not pulling that. That is right now. Because Connor Jaso's friend is also
on the Dinos.
On the Dinos, yeah. Maybe that's what I was thinking of.
Yeah, no, but I mean, I know, like, when I think Luke said, like, that the three of them are going to play on different teams, but I just have no idea. I've never heard what team Chase may play on, and maybe that's changed. I don't know. All right, so let's see what's next out of market team. The Cajuns, they're also making their second MAW opening day tournament in a row. The Cajuns out of Las Vegas, formerly out of Oklahoma, another long time Wiffle Ball franchise, probably in that same sort of era, that 2005-ish era as the SEC 35, captained by Andrew Lede. And this is a little bit different looking Cajuns this year. It's more like their United Wiffle team. Both of the Marshall brothers will be joining Andrew along with Randy Dalby, who was on the Cajuns last year at opening day. Cajuns had a terrible draw opening day last year. They played the Canes first game, with Ink second game, and then the Meats in the 0-2 versus 0-2 game, and they beat the Meats to continue on. So it'll be pretty tough for them to get as bad of a draw as that this year. What are you looking for from the Cajuns, Tim? Like, what do you want to see on opening day?
Well, they're all, you know, Andrew Ledet's a long time. Him and Dalby are, you know, long time players. I mean, all of them. I mean, yeah, Will's played, you know, competitively for a long time. You know, they're just they're a team that, you know, regardless of draw, I mean, unless they get that specific hard draw again, you know, but even if they get that hard draw again, I think they'll be able to grind their way through. And, you know, at the very least, you know, I mean, worst case scenario, make it a terrible day for the teams they're playing. But best case scenario, yeah, they're able to pull out two wins just because, you know, also, I don't think this is a huge thing, but, you know, playing in two strikes, you know, 4-2 count your first time, especially on opening day in a field where last year was very windy in the morning session and stuff. You know, that can take a little bit of adjustment. They've got that behind them now. They know the flight in and stuff. My guess is they'll, you know, have that all settled so that they're, you know, get in at a reasonable time. So, they should, you know, they should be in good shape. I see no reason why they're, you know, not right there in the front of the pack.
Yeah, no, I agree with you too. And then as we kind of continue on here in the next 15, 20 minutes or so. Yeah, I think the theme of this tournament is, so you talked about it earlier, Tim, that it's, you know, 20 instead of 24. But I think the bottom here, I think it's kind of, you know, it's not, it's a little more competitive this year because some teams have gotten better. You know, I think there's only maybe a team or two where you kind of look at it and be like, okay, like that's a beatable team. So, you know, there is going to be some bad luck again. There's, you know, there's going to be some teams, unless things just kind of work out right, that, you know, don't make the playoff round or lose a playing game into the final. It was a playoff game to get into the final eight and don't make it to the final eight that, you know, are a really good team that didn't play well. But that's, again, I think that's why people come to MAW. Another reason why people come to MAW is you know you're going to get the best teams every time. You know it. You know every time you come in, what's at stake. It's, you go 2-1 or better. It's going to be the same here on opening day. You go 2-1 or better, you advance to the playoffs. If you don't, you need a lot to go right for you. And we'll talk about the format on Wednesday during the draw. But there's really only, like, I think one scenario where a 1-2 team's going to get in. So, you know, it's Yeah, it's going to be tough, but that's why guys are out here to start their season against the best.
Yeah, no, completely.
All right, so better off-season move, Tim. I'm going to give you two options here. You ready? Concentrate, okay?
All right.
All right. Okay, so Geno Joseph to the Dragons or Teddy Dresser to the Long Balls, which has a bigger impact on their team on opening day?
On opening day, oh man, that's tough. Boy, you really put me on the spot here.
I
This is
told you to
just
be ready, and then,
well, I'm trying to be ready. This is very complicated. I think on opening day, and so here's where I'll go. In the regular season, I think Geno's a little bit more important to the Dragons. I think on opening day, this Teddy to the long balls pushes Bose back, allows them to use Sean as like the as a not as an early pitcher, but he pushes Sean back to like they're almost their opener, which is a great position to be in. So I think on opening day in a stacked tournament, and that obviously pushes Bose back a little further and allows them more flexibility. So I think, but it's not that big of a, it's not that wide of a gap.
No.
But yeah, for opening day, I'd lean towards Teddy a little bit.
Yeah, no, I'm on board with that. I think when you look at like that specific question I asked, I think it's always a team that's maybe like a little bit closer already. The long balls, had a tremendous regular season in MAW last year. Then they went into the playoffs and Bose, just shut down the Juggernauts in the semi. They won the wild card tournament, went through, really good teams, just, killed the Canes, offensively, played a tough stoppers team and beat them. Then they go in and they play the Juggernauts, three-time regular season champions, two-time undisputed MAW champions in a row. They beat them in a three-game series, and then they come, within one extra inning home run from, one of the greatest players ever, Jordan Robles, for winning their first MAW championship. They're right there, and that little incremental improvement from Teddy, I think, is kind of bigger in just one sort of opening day tournament. I think over the long haul, wouldn't surprise me if Gino, does more to move the Dragons. I actually think he will, does more to move the
Yeah.
Dragons' fortunes than Teddy does to move the long balls. But opening day, I agree. But yeah, both of those are great offseason moves that really fit well for both of those teams.
Yeah, and like it is, that's why one tournament versus, a full season, it is a different beast. And yeah, I do think Gino will give the Dragons obviously another really good pitcher so that Nick doesn't have to shoulder all of that, and that will play out much more clearly over a full season here. But yeah, if you had to go on opening day, I do think Teddy gives a little bit more just for that, specific scenario.
Yeah, like all season long, I really like this Dragons team. I think I think Nick Lee's got to decide himself to finally have like what seems like it should be, knock on wood, a full season team with like literally six guys. They're gonna have Jaso at some point. Bucci is now Bucci. Again, like wasn't really retired last year. He played in the most tournaments any retired player has ever played in. But now he's committed. He's back in for a full season. Dougie's back. Fetsamiglia's back. Like, I really think they got a good team, and I'm interested in seeing what they do this year. Before we get too far away from the out of market teams, I want to circle back before we get into some other questions here to the fourth one that we didn't talk about, and that's SoCal Wiffle. So this is a really interesting team. They're playing a SoCal Wiffle, but this is a team made up really of made up of like three different parts from like three different leagues, three different areas of the country. So you got your SoCal Wiffle guys in, just give me a second here to pull this up, in Dustin Staggs, and I don't want to say the wrong name. Ethan Johnson. I can't remember who the second one was, if it was Cannon Rabbit or Ethan Johnson. So you got Dustin Staggs and Ethan Johnson from SoCal Wiffle. They're joined by two MLW mainstays in Sawyer Bien and Jackson Pearson. You know, this guy's also playing different leagues. Sawyer plays in KWL as well as MLW. Jackson plays in a few different places. And then they got a couple guys out of the PLW in Las Vegas, Logan Christie and Trevor Bauer. So, excuse me. This is a really interesting. I couldn't hit the cough button. It's a really interesting team, and like, they got arms for days. They got a lot of bats. It's really just kind of how they match. Like, you know, this is, they're gonna have to figure this out on the fly of like who you pitch here, who you pitch there. That's always tough. There's not a lot of margin for error here. But I mean, Bauer's got a big time arm. You know, he throws really hard. You know, Sawyer pretty soon is going to be one of the best players in the game if he's not, you know, knocking on the door already. As long as he stays healthy, you know, Stags, in addition to being a, you know, great promoter and league and tournament runner out there in the SoCal area, is also, you know, a really good and smart player himself. You know, both him and Ethan got experience at United Wiffle last year. You know, Jackson played in MAW tournament last year, our second tournament of the year, and, you know, threw really, really well against Earl. He's got a big, big, big time arm. This may be the team in the tournament, Tim, that I'm most looking forward to seeing.
Yeah, and the aforementioned Tom Gannon, he's, you know, he's a big fan of Trevor Bauer's arm. Did Jackson hit the home run off of Jordan?
No, that was Matt Carlington.
That's right. Okay, yeah, yeah.
But Jackson pitched that game. He came in relief of Caden.
Okay, yeah, and yeah, like, you know, there's, you know, that the great thing about individual tournaments is, yeah, you don't, especially, yeah, when you're pulling guys from three different areas that haven't played with each other, you know, yeah, you don't know how things are going to go in terms of, yeah, just even the basics of who's pitching this game, but you get on a roll and then it feels like, hey, we've been playing, you know, you go 2-1 or you go 3-0 and it feels like, oh, we've been doing this forever. And you know, and then it's like, oh, well, not only is it house money at this point, but it's, we can get all the way to the finals. So, and, you know, just anyone, like, again, all the out of market teams that we talked about so far, you know, coming from that distance, from Texas, from Southern California, from Vegas, you know, it's not only appreciated by us, but, you know, we know how far that is. So, like, it says something about your dedication. It also says something about, like, how much you want to play. And, you know, you can only get better from these scenarios, whether you play well or, you know, even if you don't, you know, come out on the right end winning wise, there's still going to be a lot of stuff to take away from this.
You know, completely agree. Like, we're truly humbled by how far people come for these tournaments, especially opening day. And, you know, we don't take that for granted. And, you know, there's a lot of things we can't control, you know, on how the weekend goes. But, you know, I think the one thing that, you know, like you said, Tim, these, you know, we see year after year, these teams that come out here and they get this early season experience against these top quality teams, you know, even if things don't break your way and you have a 1-2 or whatever, and it's not what you want it to be, you know, it shows these teams' dedication. It shows their willingness to get better. You know, we have some really good teams that are far, far closer than these teams that, you know, just don't make it down for these tournaments. And, you know, these guys that come from these far distances deserve, you know, they have all of our gratitude, and we're, you know, we're happy to see them, and we hope they get a lot, and we know they'll get a lot out of this, because you can't replicate these at-bats anywhere else, and these, you know, yeah, these at-bats anywhere else. All right, so returning team, a couple of returning teams. I'm not going to ask you which one you're most looking forward to, but more just kind of watch your thoughts on both of them, because these are two very, very different returning teams. Blue Balls and the Goon Squad. Let's start with your thoughts on the Goon Squad, Tim.
Well, Goon Squad, because Fink had, you know, basically other than opening day, took off all last year because of arm problems. We don't know what his, you know, like what his health is. I assume that it's I mean, obviously it's good enough to be playing opening day. I assume with just the rest that it, you know, should be, you know, pitching wise, he should be good to go. You know, they're you know, Gunsquad's a good team. They're, you know, they can not only beat anyone, but they can, you know, they can be trouble for, you know, the best. And then the Blue Balls, that's a really interesting team this year with, you know, you got Cam Farrow, who's an MAW veteran, along with Zane Johnston and Dennis Donegan. And then you add Greg Myers, who's a Ridley Park veteran, who's played in, has he played in MAW before?
What, just at the 2020 Ridley Park tournament?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah. So he's, from what we understand, he's playing the full season. And then Jack Liberio is their fifth. I don't know if they have a sixth right now.
Mike Collins,
that's right. That's a really good team. Like, that team could mess with – that team could send a couple teams that think they're going far early, send them home very, very early. And that may not be apparent when you see them on your schedule. But yeah, but both of those teams, I'm excited for the Goon Squad to be back. It's think Bert Bean is was Kish listed?
Kish was listed, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, he's until I see him there.
Yeah, Kish is listed a lot, and he's not there yet.
But yeah, if Kish is there, that's another arm. So, like, you know, that's, but both of those teams are, you know, very interesting. And again, I wouldn't want to see them. Wouldn't want to see Goon Squad in my third game where it's a must win for me. And I don't really want to see the Blue Balls, you know, anytime, you know, during Matrix play.
Yeah, no, they're two interesting teams, and I don't know who I want to talk about first. I guess, like, Goon Squad. So, like, last year, right, at opening day, you know, they came in and we were kind of, I didn't pull anyone in other than myself. I was kind of looking at him, and it was just, you know, it was Dre, Burt, and Bean, and, you know, they just didn't seem to have the pitching, and this was before we even knew, you know, Fink's arm was hurt. But they went 2-1. They made the playoffs. Mm-hmm. You know, they had the long balls in their first round of the playoffs and ran into Bose, and that, you know, was just an impossible task. But, you know, they beat the Meats. They had a walk off. They beat the Meats and the Canes.
Yeah.
And, you know, if they have Kish this year, if, you know, if they add someone else for this first tournament, even if they don't, you know, like, that's a team that can make a run. So I'm really glad to have them back. I hope that, you know, I hope Kish's arm is good. I hope they can find a couple other players to add to their team and really play a full season, because, you know, it's really not MAW without a, you know, a Goon Squad team in there for, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 tournaments. And then the Blue Balls, yeah, like, you know, if all those guys wake up and show up to the tournaments, you know, and they're able to do that, you know, 3 or 4 times this season, this is going to be one of the better teams. Cam looked really good at Ridley Park opening day. I watched some of the Blue Jays White Sox game with him versus Bose, and he had a home run against the Pirates, against Greg Myers, his teammate. He had a home run his first at bat against the White Sox. He was, you know, Bose was, you know, sitting 93, 94, hitting 99. Cam was, you know, sitting 90, 91, hitting 94-ish. And he just looked really good. You know, Cam's one of my favorite players. I just, you know, he kind of had the season where he put it all together in 22. I still think he's got a better season in him, and I kind of hope this is it. And that's just a really interesting team to me. You know, like, you talked earlier, Tim, about pitching. The other Ridley Park team, the long balls, you know, having Bing there as kind of your pull play guy, you know, the Blue Balls could go out there and just throw Greg Myers early. And Greg's a really fun pitcher to watch too. Like, you know, not overpowering, knows how to pitch. He's going to get hit around a little here and there, but then he's, you know, he's got a short memory. He's going to bounce back. And, like, they can go out there and just, you know, throw him in pool play, you know, and they can kind of use, you know, if Zane's got his stuff working, they can use him, you know, sporadically where they want. And if they, you know, if they get into one, get into a, you know, final eight situation and turn the, you know, give the ball over to Cam. You know, this is a team that can go far. And I, you know, big Blue Balls fan, best logo in the game. And yeah, really interested in seeing what they do opening day.
Yep.
Okay, so let's go to the, I'm just going to go all over the place here. We're going to kind of go nuts here. So let's, before we kind of go back to the middle, what you call kind of the middle-ish MAW teams, let's start with last year's champion, Earl. So we talked a little bit earlier that Teddy is now on the long balls. He's left Earl. I was thinking about this earlier today because, like, you know, your instinct, right, is to say a player the caliber of Teddy leaving a team, really, especially a team that won a championship last year. And they leaned on Teddy hard last year, pitching wise. My instinct was to say, oh, they're a pitcher short. And then I thought it through, and it's like, well, Connor pitched really well last year. He could probably pitch a little bit more this year. Costa pitched really well. I don't think Costa let up a run in like 18 innings or something in MAW last year. They can probably lean on him a tiny bit more. Vin Lee was in a cast, you know, for the first half of the season. So, you know, barring the Miami Heat, you know, pissing him off, you know, here in the next few weeks, they'll have him for a longer season. Jordan is Jordan. You know, I don't think they're going to pitch with man out there, but like they still have the pitching. They still have everything. What's your thoughts on the Earl losing Teddy and like where they are still coming into this season?
I think that's a challenge to Connor. I think with man should, you know, do some pitching.
He pitched on opening day last year, didn't he? Or is that maybe that was 2 years ago? He pitched on some tournament either last year or the year before, but yeah, he should.
Yeah, there was some. I don't think it was opening day. I forget what it was. But yeah, Connor finished the, you know, season really strong pitching last year. In fact, he's probably the reason they were able to get that, you know, stick around enough in that third game to, you know, be able to get it to extras and, you know, keep it right there. You know, yeah, they're I don't know, you lose that core's been together now for a while. So like, and you know, Teddy was the new guy on that team last year and he fit in well. Going into last season, that was a storyline of like, at least in my head, of, you know, how's that going to work? And it ended up working out fine. You know, I also think that, you know, from talking to Connor and stuff, you know, they're, you know, I think his thing, I'm not, yeah, he put it out somewhere, you know, addition by subtraction. So, you know, they're already just pissed about that. So like they're, if anything, that's going to motivate them to, you know, go with the five. And then they still, you know, like, I don't even know that they're even thinking about this, but they have a sixth spot, and by not filling it early on, that gives them flexibility and room.
Sure.
That if they do need to add someone pitching wise because of injury or ineffectiveness, they can go do that. But yeah, you know, I think the biggest thing is, yeah, they leaned on Teddy for a lot of innings last year, and they're just going to have to spread those out and be more economical with the guys, you know, that they have. But, you know, Earl's a really good team. They've been there before. They'll be fine.
No, 100% agree. All right. So, okay, I'm going to put like really concentrate down, Tim, because I'm really going to put you on the spot here. So I'm going to give you four teams, and I want you to, you know, in this razor thin margins here in terms of what separates these teams, and I want you to, you know, rank them again, just, you know, odds on, just, you know, what you would put if you had to put down of, you know, one through four, who you think is going to have a better tournament opening day. And then give me a little bit on each team too.
I got my pen and I'm ready to write this down.
All right. You ready? So these are four teams. Another, I think like a third thing, we said a couple of things so far, like, you know, for these eight seasons, like kind of like what MAW, brings to the table in terms of, you know, to offer up for teams. I think a big part of that's the middle of the pack. We've always had this great middle of the pack. So I'm going to give, you know, like these teams that can beat any team, any part in the tournament. You know, some tournaments may go 5-1, some tournaments they may get a tough draw and go 1-2, but they're just damn, they're deep, they're good teams. So here's the four teams I want you to, you know, rank with that in mind. And these are all four MAW staples too. Okay, so we got the Stompers.
Okay.
The York Yaks.
Okay.
the Dinos,
yeah.
and the New School Risers.
Okay. All right. I got my order. Oh. All
right. You don't sound confident.
All right. Okay. I got my order. Okay. So we'll start. Yeah, like you said, razor thin margins. So I got the Dinos as the fourth of those teams, but I do preface that with saying that they had the best new pitcher in Brett Collati last year. And you know,
and they got a rookie this year who could, you know,
yeah, and like year two, you know, there's some people have a sophomore slump, some people take what they learned and are able to, you know, even build on it more. So it's really not an insult to put them at four. Three is where I may get in trouble. So I got the Yaks there. They're returning, you know, their same team from last year. I think the big thing is, you know, is Noah Silverman able to pitch? And, you know, what by pitch, I mean, you know, even if he's just able to pitch at his, you know, just, you know, not his fast pitch, but, you know, his above yard speed and pitch, you know, in multiple spots, you know, I think that could be, you know, a real game changer. But, you know, that team's going to, you know, that team is going to be, you know, as good as ever. And, you know, I would never want to count out a team with that good of pitching with Bull and Skip and then, you know, Potter is your hitter. Yeah, Kuz, you know, Kuz, like the Dino, like Collati into his second full year. So yeah, that they're three. New School Risers too. You know, I'm not sure how many Ben Dolan's going to make, but never count Cap out. And in fact, the Risers last year at times played as well as they have.
Oh yeah.
You know, since the Bruisers and Risers merged together, you know, Jerry just keeps becoming a better hitter. And you know, I know he probably is not going to want to challenge, not that he won't want to challenge himself. I know he doesn't want to have to go out and pitch again, but he was able to do that last year and was, you know, was more than serviceable. You know, Cap is always great, and you know, Chris is always a solid arm. So like that core four, you know, with Ben being a guy who could eat a lot of innings, is, you know, it could be a real force. And then, you know, Stompers, you know, with the asterisk of, you know, yes, you know, the team that, you know, that both of us are still, you know, still owners of, you know, returning everyone except for Gino. And, you know, they know
how to call,
added Jimmy Cole. They know how the season ended last year. They, you know, they, the only good thing about how it ended was they lost to, you know, a team that was within, you know, one hit away from winning, you know, the MAW championship with Jimmy leading off and, you know, adding, you know, helping them at the plate. You know, Collins as dependable as ever. I think Tom Gannon is going to be a difference maker on the mound this year. I think he's ready to take that next step. So, and just everything I know and see from them, I'd expect that. But like I said, you could spin these four teams in a, you know, in the wheel that we use for the draw, and you know, it could come out any order, you know, the four different orders, and they would all be correct.
No, I think that's a fair assessment. You could really mix this up. I mean, you know, Shari's definitely not going to be happy with, you know,
bringing the Yaks. Believe me, there was a point where I was, you know, well, should the Yaks be four? And I was like, I don't want to hear that. But Shari, he was on like a 3-month delay last year in listening. So,
podcast,
so he may not hear this till July, although that could, you know, fuel more. When he does hear this, that could, you know, be bulletin board material for, you know, potential August, you know, game against the Stompers.
Yeah, no, we'll be driving down to the Pittsburgh tournament in mid-August and get a text from Sharif. You know, why did you say this back in April? Okay, so we got 10 minutes in before we got to get to this Orioles West Coast game. So we got five teams left. I don't want to miss anyone, and I definitely want to make sure we talk about this team. So again, another MAW thing that we kind of pride ourselves on, and it's, you know, it's intermittent. It's not consistent. And it, you know, but we always appreciate it when it comes, is getting new, good, young talent, full team, young talent too, not to take anything away from like a, you know, Connor J. So, or a Ben Doolin that, you know, join an existing team, but like a full team of young talent. And I think the team, one of the teams I'm really excited to see is the NWL team out of Rochester. They were supposed to play a tournament last year. We had a really weird weather forecast where we, you know, canceled the tournament, played it, ended up putting it back on and playing it in bad weather. And unfortunately that little blip there, was enough, you know, to, they'd already changed their plans by that time and couldn't make it. But this NWA team out of Rochester, a couple of their members played on the rise in the U17 MLW tournament at UWIF last year. I mean, you know, this is probably the team I'm most looking forward to seeing this year. I love to see young talent.
Yeah, and, you know, four or five of them?
Four. At least four. Signed up with, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's a four, you know, again, you don't see the four-friend team, you know. Is, you know, you don't see that a lot. You know, Rochester to York is not an easy drive, not a quick drive. Yep. You know, these guys are excited. Like, they're gonna, you know, they want to play in, I think, at least, you know, three or four, if not everything this year, but, you know, you just take it one tournament at a time. Regardless of where they finish, this will be a good learning experience. And, you know, sometimes the best learning experience is that failure, because you still get stuff that you learn from it that, you know, goes well, but you can really take what doesn't and go improve on it. And with how the MAW season is, you don't have to wait, you know, months and months. You just have to wait three weeks most, but usually 2 weeks, and you're back out there. And so, yeah, I'm excited to see these guys, you know, compete. And yeah, it'll, like you said, they are a team that I'm very interested in seeing.
Yeah, like all the four guys in their opening day roster, for real. You know, and, you know, Jake Sullivan's going to kind of come in with the most hype, and he's, you know, completely legit. You know, a good left-handed pitcher, reminds us of a few different guys. You know, Ben Kaysel, Caleb Mendler played with him on the rise, but then, you know, Ben Kaysel's a really good pitcher. I don't know a ton about Carter Hoff. But yeah, this is a really solid team. And, you know, you get really, I think like maybe a year or two ago on Twitter, I posted one of their videos, and, you know, cause I had watched like a few in a row, and like, they really struck me as like, you know, this is like the new Ridley Park. And that hasn't really changed in these couple of years. So I'm really excited to see them. And I hope these guys stick together as, you know, as a league, as a team. You got, when you have that league ecosystem to funnel into your traveling team, that's a huge thing. We've seen that.
It is.
You know, we've seen that for a lot of these kind of MLW inspired teams over the, you know, the last couple of years. And so I hope they stick with that, and really looking forward to seeing those guys. Okay. So we have five teams left, Tim. I've got two groups of two and one single team. Either pick a group, just either tell me a group of two or single team.
Single.
Okay, so our last single team we're going to talk about is the Screaming Eagles. They should be playing as the usual suspects. They are the usual suspects. But minus one. I mean, minus a very, very, very important player, so I'm sure this is why they did it. But the usual suspects, three-time national champions. The most interesting three-time national champions in the fact that the only three-time national champions that haven't done it consecutively. Team Trenton did it consecutively from 95 to 97. And C4 did it consecutively from 2017 to 2019. Usual suspects titles came in 2010, 2010 in Golden Stick, 2020 at United Wiffle and 2023 at United Wiffle. So this is four of the five usual suspects minus Joe Evanish plus Jimmy Flynn, Screaming Eagle Stem.
Yeah, I'm really glad that they're coming down for opening day. They'll definitely add to, you know, the really, really competitive field. And I'll be interested to see, you know, what they're able to do.
Yeah, no, we're happy to have, we're very happy to have them. It's always a, you know, it's always fun seeing Ryan Wood pitch. And yeah, it, you know, like we talked about, you know, guys come down to prove that, the, you know, guys come to MA, teams come to MAW. It's not a easy drive for pretty much anyone. We're not in a metropolitan area or in York, Pennsylvania. They come to prove themselves against good teams. So not only are, you know, the Screaming Eagles coming to do that themselves, they could rest on their laurels. You know, if they're three-time national champions, they don't have to qualify, but they're coming down to get their at-bats in. And then it's giving these other teams a chance, too, to get acts against a national champion, which, you know, yeah, not every national championship team has done. So it's really cool that they're coming down here. Okay, so we've got two groups left. I'm going to go, okay, we're going to go all Maryland here, Tim. You know, we're going to have to log off here, and we're going to be late. We're probably going to miss a pitch or two for the Orioles, but we're here.
Hey, can we get this done?
Okay, so two Maryland teams, Old Line Horsemen. Who finishes better at opening day?
Horsemen finished better opening day, but that doesn't take away from Old Line's continued improvement. The Horsemen, you know, once they got past opening day last year and completely retooled their team, became totally different. And, you know, that because of, they weren't able to qualify for the wild card last year because of their roster and how they had used it, but they're totally set for this year for the, you know, to make a run for a wild card spot. And they are a team that's really good and that is going to continue to get better with each and every tournament. Michael Bishop's done a great job putting that team together. And, you know, they're going to still have their ups and downs. They're still a new team, you know, in terms of experience, but they're trending in the right direction. And then Old Line, you know, they took a, you know, a really big step last year. You know, Eric Scholes was a great addition and, you know, and really helped them, you know, again, like we talked about earlier, you know, the floor is raised, I think, at opening day this year in terms of the teams, you know, just, you know, the floor being higher than it was, and Old Line is, you know, is indicative of that.
No, I have very little to add there other than just like, yeah, like I love the Horsemen's trajectory. They're going to come into the season with at least one roster spot open. So, you know, if someone kind of pops out there that, you know, they've got the ability to add, they've won at least one. They were winless in their first, you know, five or six tournaments. And then their last four or five, including United Wiffle, they've won at least, you know, one game. Jacob Holuski is, I just butchered his last name, but he's legit. You know, if they got Jake Knapp, he's down in Tennessee. If he comes back, you know, for this tournament, for a few tournaments during this year, you know, they'll be in really good shape. Mike Hanowich is quickly becoming a big hitter. They're in really good shape. Old Line is constantly retooling. You know, they're on the rise too. I would say the Horsemen finished higher than them too, but like two really great teams. And again, just indicative of what you're going to get. All right. So sort of haphazardly, we've ended here with the two teams we probably should end with, our top two regular season finishers from a year ago. Both made the Final Four last year's opening day. I don't really have like a question or a setup here, Tim, for this, but with Ink and the Juggernauts, just, you know, just go with it.
Yeah, that I, you know, those two teams are going to be fighting all year. You know, the top three teams make playoffs, the fourth make the championship, the fourth team is going to come from the wild card tournament. You know, I would expect both of those teams to contend for those top three spots, although with, you know, with how jam-packed the field is all season, you never know. But clearly those two teams, along with Earl and the long balls, you know, which were your final four last year, you know, on paper, that's going into the season. That's what you're looking at. And it'll be interesting. You know, I think for the whiffing, you know, the Styles, you know, he only made two tournaments, I think, last year before the playoffs. You know, if he's able to, you know, give more, that'll take some innings off of Whitener. You know, Ty was huge for them last year. You know, if he's as good as he was last year, you know, that'll be huge for them. And then the Jugs, you know, I wouldn't, you know, count out, you know, Stant is going into year two with his, you know, arm, you know, back in good shape, you know, year one after, you know, did he have Tommy John? I don't know what he really had, but like, you know, the year one, you know, as long as you get through that healthy, you know,
labrum.
Yeah. It's, you know, any type of injury like that, it's good. Year two is when you can really start seeing the results. And he already had some results last year. And then when they won't have Luke opening day, but he'll be able to really help them, you know, throughout the season, both sides of the ball as well.
Yeah, it just real quick, and then we'll wrap up here. I agree with all of that. Just a couple other thoughts, just real quick. Kenny Rogers is as hungry of a football player, I think I've seen, like, just kind of this offseason. Not Tim McElrath, you know, what offseason was Tim McElrath running hills in the snow? Because that's the most hungry I've ever seen a Wolf football player in the offseason. But
so like, that was January 2021. That was after they got bounced.
That's right.
That was after they got bounced with 0-3 at United Wiffle, or
no, 2-1, but they lost to the Whippets and they came in with higher expectations, and yeah, and they got
bounced from MAW championship.
POC beat them.
And that's after 19 and 20 regular season championships. Yeah. So
like, they came up with a chip on the shoulder, and Kenny Rogers just seems to be in that zone. And that's just a really great team. So like to me, like, that's kind of, they made the Final Four last year. They felt it. They're just like that little bit away. They made the Final Four at UWIF, you know, and they made the Final Four at MAW, you know, too. And just, again, just like, slimmest of margins, and you know, I'm a big Kenny Jr. believer, and like, you know, in terms of just being able to power himself through, there's very few players that can kind of power themselves and their team to titles, and I kind of feel like Kenny's in that zone coming into this year. So that's my big thing for Wolf Inc. And then real quick for the Juggernauts, I think Luke Richter's the X factor. I think if they can get some innings out of him this year at MAW and use it right, that's been the Jug's big thing this last few years, is like trying to find the way to, hey, take some innings off of Ryan's arm. This year, they're going to have to find some ways to take innings off of Red's arm too, because Red just overextended himself. If they can get those things, do right by Luke, and also win some games and go into, you know, the postseason, you know, for a lot of guys healthy, a lot of guys with bullets left, they'll be big. Opening day, both of those teams, wouldn't surprise me if they're in the, you know, the finals or the Final Four. You kind of expect them to be there, and it's a story when they're not. All right, so we'll see you tomorrow night, Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern time for the prelim draw for the 2024 Mid-Atlantic Wiffle Tournament. Mid-Atlantic Wiffle Ball Opening Day Tournament. Again, it's a 20-team tournament. We'll go over the full tournament format there. We'll also go over a bunch of other things. We're going to announce, you know, the where we'll be in Pittsburgh. We're going to be right downtown for our last tournament of the season. We'll go over that. We'll go over, you know, obviously we're going to do the draw. We'll go over some other information we have. We're just incredibly excited to be back for our eighth season. We can't wait to see everyone on opening day. So we'll see everyone on Wednesday. Or you'll hear from us again on Wednesday, and then we'll see everyone else on Friday and Saturday. See you then.